Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, and we'll be reading from Proverbs 21. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 to 31. This is God speaking to you, His people, so please be careful, paying careful and special attention to hearing and reading the word of the Lord. Proverbs 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and a plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but a man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word to you, his people, and sanctify it and you. 11 times in this passage of the book of Proverbs, we see the word but. And so this is a passage of contrast. And what is being contrasted is the way of man who lives in wickedness, and the way of man who lives according to God's word. And so contrast is made in order to bring out and to focus on things. And that's part of Hebrew language and part of Hebrew communication, that they use parallelism, and that is to say the same thing, the same point, by making two or three different statements that say the same thing. And this is another means of that communication. to make a contrast, to bring out a focus of what is being brought out. And sometimes that contrast is not necessarily have a word like but with it. But even in the verse 21, or chapter, verse 1 of 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. There is even something that is an implied contrast here. What does a king think about his heart? What does a king think about his will? That he is in charge. That he is in charge of his own heart. That he is in charge of his own will. And that everything he does happens because of his will and decree. But what does the Lord say here? The Lord say, no, no, no. The king's heart is in my hand. The king's heart is in my hand. Just like rivers of water. And I turn it wherever I want it to go. In verse 2, we see every way of man is right in his own eyes. And here's the first use of the word but, that first contrast. But the Lord pondereth the hearts, relating that even to the king. The Lord knows the king's heart. The Lord knows his will, the Lord's will, and where he wants things to go and how he wants them to happen. And so the Lord is the one who is dealing with men, kings, and those below kings in their hearts. And the Lord deals with you in your hearts. That is his realm of operation. We may think we know our own hearts, but what does the scripture tell us about our hearts? The heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. So our hearts deceive us at times. And our hearts cause us to think like the king, that I'm doing my own thing and I'm doing right. But the scripture tells us every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man. That is in contrast to every way of the Lord. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that this admonition here from Proverbs is not just about the people out there in the world who aren't in the house of the Lord today. It is not just about people who are out there as unbelievers that every one of their ways they think is right in their own eyes. But it's also true of us. And so we must submit ourselves to God's Word and to God's will. It is He that is working in the heart of man. He's the one who ponders, who considers, who looks at our hearts. And so He knows our motives and our desires, and that's what a lot of these contrasts here are putting up against each other, is the desire of a man. What he really wants in his heart. The robber, the thief, as was mentioned. The one who stops his ears at the cry of the poor. What is his desire? It's not the ways of the Lord. And the Lord knows his heart. Even here in the verse that talks about the wicked, a high look in verse 4, and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So we may be doing good things like plowing. We may be doing our work. We may be doing our fathering and our mothering. And children, we may be obeying our parents on the outside. But the Lord ponders the heart. And that's what this chapter is all about. How the Lord looks at man and looks at his heart. And that's where the Lord works. We sometimes think we know other people's hearts, don't we? Sometimes when we're having a conflict with people, we think, well, you did this because. But it is only the Lord that knows somebody's heart and their motives and their desires. Because if certainly our hearts can deceive us, other people's hearts can also deceive us. We don't have the ability to judge people's hearts. We can see their actions and we can see what looks like may flow from a heart of wickedness or unbelief. But we're not capable of pondering people's hearts. But the Lord is, and He ponders your heart. And so the thing to consider from this passage today is, where is my heart with the Lord? And is my heart desirous to do the word and will of God? Which is not a big question. And we're not left to wonder where can we find out. But it's right here in God's Word. So where is our heart's desire? If we're not sure about that, go to the Word and cultivate a heart's desire from the Word of God, for the Word of God, that you may be doing the way of the Lord and not every man doing what is right in his own eyes. And throughout these 11 times where the word but is used, it's often a contrast, not every time, but it's often a contrast of what that man's way is, how he is doing his way and not following the Lord's way. And so we are exhorted this morning from Proverbs 31 to go to the Lord and ask Him while He is pondering our hearts to show us where our hearts truly are. And He will do it. He is faithful. And He will answer that kind of prayer. And He will lead you to repentance. And He will lead you to confession of sin. And He will lead you to rejoicing in the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. So go to the Lord. A good thing to do on the Lord's day is spend time examining yourself and asking God to examine your heart, that you may not be deceived in thinking that you are doing His will. In actuality, you may be doing your own will. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. I have been given some things to pray about through Pastor Barnes, and I would ask that you not take a break from worship, that you continue to worship God and pray about these things with me. So let us pray together. Father God in heaven, we do come to You now, Lord, seeking to lift up our cares and our concerns before You. First, Lord, we want to adore You. You are majestic. You are holy and beautiful. You are wonderful, just, and righteous. You are merciful and gracious. Lord, how we thank You that You are all these things. You act according to all these things, all these attributes of Yours. You do act towards us in these ways, in loving kindness and mercy. And Father, we give You thanks for that. We thank You, Lord, for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the grace and mercy that You have shown to us through Him. Lord, we thank You that You do ponder our hearts. Because if You didn't, and You didn't work in the realm of our hearts, how lost we would be. We would always be going off track. We would always be sinning against You. We would always be going our own way. Because our hearts are deceitfully wicked. How we thank You, Lord, for giving us a new heart. For taking out that heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. How we thank You, Lord, for writing Your Word upon Your people's hearts. That we may know You and understand You and Your works and how we are to live before Your face. Oh, Lord, how we do confess that we do not. We do not know Your Word well enough, and where we don't know Your Word, or even where we do know it, Lord, we often choose to rebel against it, and we sin against You by transgressing Your law. We do sin against You, Lord, by not loving You with our whole heart, strength, and mind. And we do sin against You and our brothers by not loving each other as we are loved by You. So, Lord, we confess these things. They manifest themselves in many different ways. And we ask, Lord, that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, You would forgive us of our sins. We do thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, that You have given us Your Spirit to those whom You have saved. You have sent Your Holy Spirit as a down payment of all the blessings that we will receive in the future life. A down payment for assurance that You are our God and we are Your people. A down payment for the assurance that if Your Spirit is in us and with us, we are assured of salvation and forgiveness from all our sins. Thank You, Father, for dwelling with us by and through Your Holy Spirit. I do pray, Lord, that you would help us to live according to your word. That our heart's desires would be to see Jesus Christ and to pursue peace and to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Lord, we are frail creatures made of dust, and you know our weaknesses. You know where we have sinned and where we need to repent. And we pray, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts to show us the way. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, be sanctifying us, causing us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Not in a froward way. Not in an unjust way. Not in a greedy, coveting way. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us, your people. Daily, Lord, show us our sins, that we may confess them to you and turn away from them and not live in the guilt of them, but live in the peace that we have through Jesus Christ and the joy that is ours in Christ Jesus. Father, we have people that we want to lift up to you, and even though not by name, we know that there may be some amongst us who are anxious, who need comfort. There are some amongst us who are down in the pit because of life circumstances possibly, or because of their sin that they have yet to repent of. And Father, we ask that you would do more of this wondrous work that we sang about in the psalm this morning. That you would restore the brokenhearted. That you would comfort those who are sad, who are down, who are downtrodden, who are struggling even with faith in you. That you draw near to them and strengthen them, Lord, and cause them to look to Jesus Christ, that their faith may be strengthened. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are experiencing loneliness. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who think they are not lonely because they're around a lot of people, but yet they are not walking with you. They are lonely. Father, we ask that you would comfort us and restore us to you. Lift up the brokenhearted. Comfort the lonely. Cause us, Lord, to look to you that we may see that we are never alone if we have you as our Savior. Father, we do also ask that you give us strength in mind, body, and spirit to fulfill our callings from you. All these contrasts that we read about in Proverbs 31, these things that we have been exhorted to do and to be. We know, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We will not be able to accomplish these things. And so we plead, Lord, that you would help us and that we would only be relying upon your strength to obey you and the gospel by faith. Father, we do pray also for our children, whether they be young, whether they be babies or toddlers or even in the womb, or whether they be young people, teenagers, young adults, or those who have even left our homes. We do pray for them, Lord. We pray for their salvation if they have not come to Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would remind them of the things they have been taught, of the grace that they have been shown, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, for all our parents, and ask, Father, that you would help them to be faithful in the raising of their children to know Christ, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to never give up on this duty of ours, that you may be glorified, and that we may be trusting in you to fulfill your promises, to save our children and our children's children. Lord, cause us to believe that. And cause us, Lord, to believe that you do it through the means of grace, through the teaching of your word, of having them in worship and instructing them about what they've heard in worship and living a godly example before them. Father, we pray that you would use all these means, and certainly use your Spirit to give them new life, to cause them to be born again, that they may believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do want to pray for others who are outside of this local congregation who are doing your work in other countries. We pray, Lord, for the mission work in Sudan, Kush for Christ. We pray, Lord, for the gospel radio ministry that is going on there, that only your truth would go out and that people would be hearing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christians would be instructed and taught well. We do pray, Lord, for that Christian school that is there, that you would use it also to instruct the children to know Christ. Lord, we do pray for Lucas Hanna and Zach Smith, those missionaries working there and their families, as they seek, Lord, to train elders, because the church is growing so fast and growing, outgrowing the elders that can shepherd them. And yet, Lord, we know in your providence, you're not surprised by this. You're the one who is causing the growth. You're the one, Lord, who is sanctifying these people and will be raising up shepherds to care for them in your name. And we pray, Father, that you would bring those things about. Lord, we also do pray for our nation. What a wicked state we are in, Lord. We as a nation have turned our backs to you. We have sought the ways of this world. We as a nation, Lord, are defying all of your laws and idolatry, and profaning the Sabbath and using your holy name in vain. Lord, how guilty we are of so great sins. How much in need we are of so great a salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would work through the churches, that you would cause the churches to repent, including this one, including all the churches in this denomination, that where we have not kept your word, where we have not cried out in the streets against these injustices in our nation, that you would convict us of sin and you would cause us, Lord, to be heralds of your law and heralds of the gospel of grace, and that you would turn our nation back to yourself. Have mercy, Lord, upon us. Lord, it is quite possible that you have turned this nation over to itself and to all its heart's desires. But we are still here, Lord. So we as the church cry out and ask for your forgiveness and your mercy. We as a church cry out, Lord, that you would show us when and where and how we are to speak truth to this nation, to our churches, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to the Jew and also to the Greek. Lord, the answer to our nation is Jesus Christ. We must, as a nation, return to him. So, Lord, we are dependent upon your grace and mercy to bring that about. We have turned shameful acts of sin into celebration. As we see this nation and others designate falsely against you, that June is Pride Month. Lord, we know that for us and our sins and the wicked, that every month is Pride Month. Every month is a month of pride, shaking our fist in your face, saying we will not live according to your word. But here, Lord, now this month is elevated to a shameful celebration of rebellion against you, of perverting marriage, of perverting creation, of all kinds of perversions. Man's heart is endless in thinking up ways to pervert you and your word. Lord, we need to be turned back. We need to be turned against our will and to be turned in favor of yours. And we are totally dependent upon you, Lord, to do so. And so, Lord, we also ask for ourselves. We also ask, Lord, that you would be changing our hearts. And as we prepare to hear your word preached, we know, Lord, that you have ordained this means of grace. We know, Lord, also that if you have ordained the preaching of your word and the preacher for it, then you have also ordained the hearing of it, the sincere and genuine and honest hearing of your word, and not only to be hearers, but also to be doers. And for these things, Lord, we plead that you would be changing us because of our presence here today in your presence, changing us because we have heard your word taught, we have heard it preached, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, writing it on our hearts, convicting us of sin and leading us into truth. We do pray, Father, that you would do these wonderful things in the lives of your people, showing grace and mercy to us this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.